This is today's message. I want to talk about a transformed life. So, a transformed life. You see, a transformed life requires a transformed mind. And this is where I want to start us off. So often, you'll hear people, boy, I wish my life was different. I wish I could, you know, make more money, or I wish that I could do things differently or be different. What they're really saying is they want their life to be transformed. They want it different. Well, a transformed life begins, according to Scripture, with a transformed mind. Now, I am going to, of course, get to the fact that Jesus is the most important part in this. But I'm going to give you some straight-up Scripture. So if you're a believer already, these are Scriptures that you need to apply right off the bat. If you're not a believer, when I get to the end of this message, I'll tell you how. Because without Jesus, it's not possible, but it begins with transformed mind. All right? Your mind needs to be transformed before your life will be. Romans 12, verse 2. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Don't be conformed to the patterns of the world. Be transformed. And how are you transformed? By renewing your mind. Okay, this is really key. You realize he said, don't be conformed to the patterns of the world, the things they do. Be transformed, and then he gives you the key, by renewing your mind. Now, in Scripture, you will see that mind and heart are kind of interchangeable, are connected when they use those words. It's the inner you, the real you. The word transformed in this verse, the original word is metamorpho. And from that Greek word is the word we get it called metamorphosis. And some of you will know what metamorphosis is. Any science people in the house? You're like, I know what that is. Anyhow, metamorphosis, if you're talking about insects or amphibians, it's the process of transformation from an immature form to an adult form, sometimes in two or more stages. For the other definition, metamorphosis means a change of the form or nature of a thing or person into a completely different thing or person by natural or supernatural means. I got to read that again. Metamorphosis, this transformed, the root word in the Greek that we get metamorphosis, is a change of form or nature of a thing or person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. Now, of course, the greatest example that we have of metamorphosis is the caterpillar to a butterfly. And it is an amazing transformation that takes place when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. They start out as a squiggly, little wormy, snaky thing. You can see up there. And they end up flying, beautiful colors. But you see, they are transformed. They squirm around from about 2 to 4 weeks, different ones are different times, from 2 to 4 weeks, and all they do is eat leaves, eat and eat and eat. There's some people, if you live a few miles either way, you may have had all the trees bare here a few weeks ago from caterpillars. All they know how to do is eat. If they are moving, it's because they're looking for more food. And they will eat and eat and eat for 2 to 4 weeks. Then they form a cocoon or chrysalis from 5 to 21 days, depending what type they are. While they are there in their cocoon, they are completely reformed at a cellular level, completely changed. Inside things, some cells are dissolved and changed. Some suddenly come alive and do what they're meant to do, but they are transformed to something else. You see, they no longer do what they used to do after the transformation. They don't even eat what they used to eat. You see, the old caterpillar had a mouth for chewing leaves. The new butterfly doesn't even have a mouth. It has a straw to suck sweet nectar from flowers. It goes from crawling on its belly to flying, soaring through the air, well, let's say fluttering more than soaring, and drinking nectar from flowers, completely different. They don't even have the ability to chew on leaves. You see, metamorphosis, the words originals from this, be transformed. Let your life be changed so that you don't even look like the same thing. People won't recognize the person you are because of the change. They'll be like, oh, I know your face. Well, you don't look the same. What are you doing with yourself these days? How come I don't see you over at the bar? I haven't seen you for ages. Oh, that's because I go different places now. You know, I don't have a beer belly anymore. I don't go there. I go here. Has anybody changed? There was not much laughter there. You guys didn't think that was funny at all. Some of you are like, I don't drink and I have a beer belly. Be quiet. It's called a pot belly or whatever. Anyways, I digress. But you get the idea. You change. Transformation begins with transforming or renewing your mind. You see, renewing our minds and allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way will bring true life transformation. You can want to be different and do things different all day long, but if you don't change what you're putting into your mind, you will be the same person. If you continue watching the same shows, spending the exact same amount of time on social media, praying just whatever you have in the past, if you do all the same things, in a month from now, you will be exactly the same person. You can wish for transformation all you want. You must renew your mind. Ephesians 4, verse 23 says this, your hearts and minds must be made completely new. Everybody say new. And you must put on the new self, which is created in God's likeness and reveals itself in the true life that is upright and holy. Did you notice that somebody must put on the new? Who's supposed to put on the new? Is God supposed to put the new on you? You were told to put on the new. He provides it. He makes it possible, but you actually have to put on the new. You see, when that butterfly goes into that cocoon, it has to spin the little silk thing that it hangs on. And yes, it's doing those things because of what's been put in and programmed in it, but it has to do it. When you come to Christ and you become a new creature, you have to put on the new. You see, you can come and pray and accept Christ as your Savior. If you walk out the door and decide, I'll do the exact same thing I've always done, you will not be transformed. You will have said a nice prayer. You will have experienced his presence, but you will not be a transformed person. You must walk out with your mind made up. I'm going to put different things in. I'm going to shut this off and turn this on. I don't know how blunt I should be. What you fill your mind with matters. If you watch a bunch of perverted things over time, you will become a pervert. What you fill your mind with, eventually you think on it long enough, pretty soon you're speaking it, the next thing you're acting it. So don't fill your mind with it. You fill your mind with romantic dramas where everybody's cheating and finding new partners. Pretty soon you become completely unsatisfied with your spouse. And all you can think about is, oh, there must be some wonderful, tall, dark, handsome person that wants to sweep me off my feet, buy me roses and buy me a house and take me out every 2 hours or however many times they take them out in 1 hour. Have you ever thought about that? I already picked on the guys. I'm picking on the ladies a little bit now. Watch a 2-hour romantic movie. Count how many times in 2 hours they go on a trip to Italy or they buy a house or they eat out. How many times? That's not real life. It is designed to give you the good feels while you watch the movie. But you feel yourself with that continually. Pretty soon you expect that, you want that, you desire that. And the next thing you think, maybe I'll get that feel if I start flirting over here. It just got quiet in the house. It's okay. You can just smile and be like, yeah, that's probably for my neighbor. Like, I'm okay with that. Just take it in. If it's for you, receive it. All right, one more verse on renewing our minds. Put on the new nature, which is renewed in knowledge by conforming to the image of the one who created it. I got to read that again. Put on the new nature, which is renewed in knowledge. It's just crazy. You want to become more like Jesus who created you? You have got to change what you're putting in here. You've got to gain wisdom and knowledge that only he can bring. You see, if you want to be more like Jesus, fill yourself with more of Jesus. Read his word. Pray. Listen to music where he fills you up. Listen to messages that people are sharing. I've said this before. You want to have faith for healing. Don't listen to stories about a lot of sick people. Don't go online and Google all the symptoms and, you know, what you're going to be like in 2 years. Instead, why don't you listen to people who've been healed? Get into your Bible and read every scripture there is on healing. It's up to you what you fill your mind with. You want to be someone who has faith? Fill your mind with things that bring faith. Okay, now here's a key for some. Some, you've got into a thinking pattern where even if you're not filling, your mind has been doing that cycle for so long that you keep doing it. Now you're filling your own mind. Now you may need prayer for that, or you may need to work really hard to break it. And the only way to do it is to fill it with something else. You can't just say, I won't think about that, or I won't go there, or I won't fill that. Fill your mind with something better. Okay? There's no such thing as when you become a Christian, you should sit and do nothing. It's that you change what you do. You see, the butterfly doesn't do nothing. This worm that used to just crawl and eat, and all it thought about was filling itself, now they can fly around. And they're fluttering around. They're doing something completely different. So when you come to Christ, it's not that, oh, you can't have fun anymore. I'm saying this, you will have a totally better, abundant life with him. The caterpillar probably thought he was having fun devouring leaves, but he had no clue what was in store to be able to fly. I mean, come on, let's face it. Flying is way better than squirming across Highway 44. Yeah, anyways, if you drove anywhere to High Prairie in the last while, you see black sides on the ditches. It's gone now, I think. I think they're flying now, some of them that survived. Listen, you must understand this. Your mind must be transformed. So I'm gonna just get right to some things on this. I got lots I got to share, but okay, let's say you struggle with depression or possibly you keep getting these feelings that the person you're with is just not up to what you expected, whatever it might be. Now you're sitting there by yourself and it starts playing. It's almost like watching TV, but your mind's playing it over again for you to hear and consume. It's kind of like regurgitating food, really, but it's your mind doing it because of that pattern. You've got to shut it off. You shut it off by saying, in the name of Jesus, stop, and then finding something else to fill it with. Whatever works for you, if it's gospel music, if it's hearing a message, fill it with something else. Don't allow yourself to sit there and that stuff to begin to fill, because it can be your own mind, but I want to tell you this, there's also a spiritual side to this where the enemy doesn't play fair, and if he sees that you're struggling in an area, he will try to bring more to take you out. Does that make sense? You're trying to do it right, you're trying, and where did that come flying in from? How did that get in there? You know, like just the enemy will do things like that. So you, on purpose, fill it with something else. Now, this is my last point on the renew your mind thing. If you're still struggling with it, you find somebody else to help you out. And spouses, of course, you're blessed with a partner that you can bring anything to help you out. But you need to admit, hey, I don't want this anymore. And then begin to renew your mind. All right, second point. To have a transformed life that we're talking about, you need a renewed mind. Second point, a transformed life produces new actions. The mind gets renewed and suddenly new actions happen. Listen to scripture. Luke 6:43. A healthy tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a poor tree bear good fruit. Every tree is known by the fruit it bears. You do not pick figs from thorn bushes or gather grapes from bramble bushes. A good person brings good out of the treasure of good things in his heart. You notice they're using heart and mind interchangeably here. A bad person brings bad out of his treasure of bad things, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You see, new actions come from a transformed life. If you've come to Christ, you say, my life has been transformed, then there will be new actions to prove it. You see, you can't call yourself a fig tree if it's not figs that are coming out on the branches. So you need to go to the heart of who you are, the mind and the heart, the real you. You need to renew it and change it, and new actions will begin to take place. And the first place you will notice transformation will be your mouth. Let me say that again. The first place you should see change in a transformed heart is the mouth. The mouth is also the first place where you'll usually see that there's still issues. If there's still some issues, the mouth will show it first. If things are getting healed and changed, the mouth will show it. All right? You're fine if I'm just blunt, because I'm not picking on anybody. I don't know anybody's stuff. I'll just be blunt with the mouth thing. So let's say you're like, okay, God, you know, I want to do this better. I want to do what you want. I don't want to be angry at people. And you're driving down the highway and someone cuts you off, and then the next thing, you're a strong believer. You did your devotion that morning and you're swearing at them. It means there's still some heart issues that God wants to deal with, and you need to allow him to deal with it, and you need to change what's going into your heart and mind. Okay? Maybe you're driving down the road, you're passing, you know, like, I'm doing this right, you're passing the liquor store. And always in the past, when it was hot, you went to the liquor store and you got an ice cold drink. But you know, when you do that, then you end up with more, and it's causing you a lot of grief. It is not pleasing God. It's a stumbling block to others around you. And so you're like, I'm not doing this anymore. But there you are driving around along, like, oh, I wish I could have one. Okay, I'm not asking you to just fake it. I'm asking you to say, when the mouth brings stuff out, say, okay, that's a first sign I can deal with something still. And then fill yourself with something better. You see, if you've had a long life of this is what I do and need, you've got to change what you're putting in. Say, okay, Holy Spirit, what do I need instead? Well, there are lots of studies that tell you that ice cold water is far healthier for you. Okay? Have you ever heard of a water belly? Me neither, okay? So ice cold water is much better. There are studies that show that the kinds of things we can put into our bodies that are healthy for them, put those in. And why not fill yourself up with, this is healthier for me, this is something I need to do, and then the other thing can be done with. And listen, some people are like, well, I don't have an issue. If you don't have an issue, then quit for an entire month and prove that you don't have an issue. Because I've met so many people that don't have an issue, but they're actually addicts. But they're addicts that can kind of function. You know, often we think of addicts, we think of the guy laying on the street. I've met, over the years of ministry and just life, even worked with some, they're addicts, but they can function. But it is not a life of abundance. It is not a life of following Jesus. It really isn't. And so you don't just want to be a functioning addict. You want to be somebody who is completely free and living abundant. Okay, so please be honest with yourselves and deal with the things. And again, you're like, how do I know? Check your mouth. Just be honest. And I picked the one driving, because if you're driving by yourself, you'll often be more, you won't be like, oh, I can't say anything. You'll say the truth of your heart often, right, if you're driving by yourself. When I'm driving, I like to sing and everything. I've had times where I'm driving and I'm like, God, what are you trying to do to me? Oh, nobody can hear that. That's good. So being honest and open and say, okay, what's happening in the heart? And let it be transformed. So I'm not asking you to fake. I'm not asking you to try to make figs if there isn't figs. Change the heart. You see, a transformed heart or mind has removed the garbage. That comes through prayer, to remove garbage. Sometimes you need others to help pray with you. And it's filled itself with good things. All right, this very verse, out of the good treasure, they bring out good things. Does anybody here have any treasure? Has anybody ever had a treasure box when they were young? Or you have treasure still hidden, like a sock under your mattress? I don't know. Everybody's got it in the bank, in investments, whatever, a treasure. Okay, let's go back to the movies or when they had a treasure box full of stuff that they have found. In other words, it's something that's stored up. And out of what's stored up, you give out. So if you don't have any good treasure stored up, you can't give it out. Does that make sense? So what is coming out and how you're blessing other people is because you've filled it up beforehand. You've spent time listening, hearing, speaking to yourself, praying, and then you give it out. So you need to have not a literal treasure chest, but have a spiritual treasure chest that you fill up. Don't just try to think, I'll just wing it when I need it. Fill it up. So you're thinking of healing because one day you in your mind, you want to pray for people to be healed. So maybe you don't need healing, but you've been thinking, I want to pray for someone to be healed one day. Okay, fill up the treasure chest now. Listen to everything you can on healing. Pray about healing. Read about healing. Practice praying for yourself. Practice praying for your dog. You know, whatever. But fill up the treasure chest first. Then when it's time to give out, you'll have something to give out. And if you've got a little bit darker treasure chest over here that's been filling up, in prayer, take that dark treasure chest. Say, Lord Jesus, I don't want this in me anymore. It's been filling up for a while. I'm giving it to you. Take it from me. He says he'll do stuff like that. Let him do it. A transformed life, the actions that will change, means you love others, even your enemies. John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. If your life is transformed, love should be coming out and showing itself to others. Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You see, a transformed life means we love others. It also means, according to Scripture, a transformed life means that we will quit living in sin. There is a lot of Scripture on this. Obviously, I don't have time. I'm just going to give you one good one here tonight. You can search it out if you want. Romans 6:1-4. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that the grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Newness. Transformation is about new things. You see, serving Jesus isn't something you just add to what you already have. It isn't just a nice add-on to a complicated, complex life of I do whatever I want. It's a new life. And you have to say, okay, Lord, what is it that you want? A transformed life also means that you will now do the things that please him. Again, I've already kind of touched on this. You don't just quit something and sit there and I'm like twiddling my thumbs. I got nothing to do. You're quitting something to do something better. Can I say that again? You're quitting something that hurts and harms you to do something better that blesses and builds you. When a pastor or a family member who loves you say, hey, you need to quit this, it's going to hurt you. They're not just saying, sit in your room and do nothing. Quit this and pick something else up instead. Do something better that will build you. Colossians 1:9. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Oh my goodness, this sounds like a lot of stuff God wants to put into your mind and heart, doesn't it? It's crazy. That's where he begins the transformation. Verse 10, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God. As we have taught you, you live this way already, and we encourage you to do it even more. For you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. So he is saying that he is urging them in the name of the Lord to live in a way that pleases God. You quit something, now you find out what pleases God and you start doing it. What pleases them is in here, but you can also go to prayer, Lord, what can I do that will please you? What is it that you would want me to do in my life right now? And I know my father-in-law is someone who used to pray and hear from the Lord, and I heard many stories from him and some from my wife, and there was a time in his life where he was in ministry, and he had finished ministering in this one place, and he was like, Lord, where do you want me to go next? And in those days when he'd ministered, there'd be healings and people saved, and it was exciting. But he was praying, and he's saying, God, where do you want me to go next? And God said, I want you to go home. And he had a vision, and in the vision, it was like he went to his house, and when he went to get into his house, it was filled with all this junk and garbage, and he could barely get in. As he was trying to get in, he came up around the corner, and there he saw his family sitting around watching the TV, and the programs weren't that great. And he was shocked. He was like, and then he heard the Lord say again, I want you to go home. You need to clean up your own house. And so when he woke up from the vision, he got in his vehicle, he drove all the way home. He drove home, he walked in the house, and he told his family, I think God wants us to get rid of this TV because all we do is watch it. And I'm going to say this part because this is the real thing. His wife said to him, you do know you're the one who wanted the TV and you bought it. Isn't that funny how sometimes we get things going ourselves? And then we see when the others are not doing it well, but yeah, we might have been the ones who began it. And he knew that. He said, that's true. But he said, I think from what God showed me, a lot of junk is filling our house. And again, it's filling their minds, their hearts. And there maybe wasn't boundaries, or what should or shouldn't be watched is kind of everything being watched. And so he said, no, we need to get rid of this. And while he was talking about this, the doorbell rings, a knock on the door. He goes to the door. It's a vacuum salesman at the door. You have to be old to know that vacuum salesmen used to go around to house to sell vacuums. And the vacuum salesman got sold or something like that. But anyhow, I'm getting ahead of myself. The vacuum sales guy comes and he's got this amazing vacuum. He's showing off the vacuum. And my wife's father says, well, I don't have any money for a vacuum, but I got a brand new color TV. I will trade you the TV for the vacuum. He ended up making the trade. He got the vacuum guy to take his TV, and now he has a vacuum. And he looks at his daughters, and he's like, so we don't have a TV anymore, but you guys can vacuum. It didn't go over well. I'm just going to say this right now. They were not happy. And they had a younger brother, and he was so young, he just rode on the vacuum while they vacuumed. He thought it was great. Nobody else did. But here's my point. Being willing to say, God, I'll do what you ask. And if it means something I have, it just isn't, it's filling me up with stuff I don't need, then be willing to say, okay. And you know what? That's what was needed at that time for him and his family. That might not be what's needed for your family. Maybe your family has great boundaries and, you know, you only have certain times that you do it. So please understand, I'm not the guy like everybody throw out their TVs. We have a TV at home. I am just saying he was willing to listen at that season in his life and his family's life to something for them. And he didn't go around telling other people to get rid of their TVs either. He knew that was for them. So what's for you might be different than what's for the people over here, the person over here, the family over here. Okay, please understand that. Please understand that. But my thing right now is, are you willing to talk to him and then do what he says pleases him for you? Okay? Be willing to do it. Because if you do, I guarantee he'll take you to another level. He'll bless you, he'll keep you, and he will allow your heart and mind to be filled to overflowing. And if you want to read any of these passages in their full context, I've been like keeping them pretty short and just giving you the basics. 1 Thessalonians 4, he continues there and goes into some straight up sin that's been happening, obviously, in their area. And he just tells them straight, hey, you got to have things right in the area of sleeping together. I got to be careful if there's young people here. You don't sleep with someone who you're not married to. That was easy. He gives them straight up stuff. You need to do this right. And you're like, I don't like it when you preach that stuff. It's in every one of these verses I'm giving you, either before it he's talking about living right or after it he's talking about living right, and he gets specific. I don't know what else to tell you. You want to hear his word? That's what his word says. So do what pleases him. You're like, but that's hard. It's difficult in my situation. It's difficult in everybody's situation. He didn't ask us to do it because it would be easy. He asked us to do it because it's right. It will bless us in the long run, and it pleases him. When he asked us to come and follow him, he asked his disciples, he said, will you take up your cross and follow me daily? What that meant is, will you lose your life and pick up the life I have for you now? Dying to yourself isn't easy always. Anybody here said it was easy to die to yourself? See, no hands went up, but it's the right thing to do. And when you do it, get ready for a life that will blow you away. Amen. You see, when you spend time filling your mind with God's word, godly music, and spend time with other people who do the same, you begin to learn what pleases him. You begin to change from the inside out the more you fill yourself up with the good stuff. And here, if you've been thinking about the message so far and you're like, it seems like it's good news, but it seems so hard. This is the final point. A transformed life is possible because of Jesus. You see, if you've tried to change yourself, you would have come up short for sure. But I brought those things first because you do play a part in it. But you won't succeed without the love and power of Jesus working in you. You need him. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Maybe you're in a spot where, man, it seems hard. Ask for his strength, because you can do anything with the strength of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. You need Jesus, you need his Holy Spirit to help you. And he wants to change you into his image. There was a saying years ago, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And it was on that idea of we're supposed to be more like Jesus. So if you're wondering, is this something that is good? Well, what would Jesus do? And it's a good question to ask, because we're being made more into his image. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Another version says a new creation. A new creation. That's what God wants you to be. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how you live transformed. In Galatians 6:15, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and that world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we've been transformed into a new creation. There you go. Have you allowed him to transform you? And I have seen that this transformation can take different amounts of time for different people, but are you in the process of being transformed? Are you allowing him? That's what counts. You see, Jesus is the answer, because he paid the ultimate price for our freedom on the cross. He paid the price so that once and for all, we could be connected again with the Heavenly Father, so that we could be free, so that we could be transformed. You know, sometimes people feel, yeah, but like the old is more comfortable. What I'm used to is easier because I'm used to that pattern. In this picture we have of the old typewriter, people who use those old typewriters, I mean, they just wanted to stick with them forever because it's more comfortable. Maybe you're in that spot where that old, what you're used to, is comfortable. You're going to have to let it go and step into what he has that's new. It's just a fact. God wants to transform you. He's going to renew your mind, but you play a big part in it. You're the one who consciously says, I want it renewed. You're the one who puts things aside. You're the one who brings things to fill yourself. So what I do want to do today, I want to take a minute to pray over the group. I want to pray for God's desire. Sometimes I just pray that God would inside give you a burning desire, first of all, to be transformed. Because sometimes people are just content where they're at, like, oh, well. But when you get a desire for more and you realize, oh, my goodness, what God has is way beyond where I am right now. I don't want to stay here. But you need that desire to come. Also, I'm going to pray, as he gives you a burning desire for what he has and what's new, that he gives you a burning conviction for what's not pleasing him. Okay? Is everybody okay with me praying that? I'm asking God to do it, so if he doesn't like my prayer, he's not going to do it anyway. So it's pretty safe prayer, right? So if you just bow with me, I'm going to pray over you for what God wants to do in you. So Lord, I pray right now for this group. I thank you for every one of them. Such a blessing here on a Saturday night. Lord, they come and they come to worship and to hear your word. And Lord, you just bless them and you encourage them and you fill them as they're here. And Lord, I just want to pray right now for each of them. I'm asking, Lord, first that you would give them a strong, burning conviction for anything they're doing that doesn't please you. Lord, they are people who love you and they will listen. Lord, let them feel that burning conviction that you clearly said, this is not where I want you. And Lord, it might be different for each one, but you're saying this is holding you back. Lord, you bring it to them. You let them know. And then Lord, the second part I'm asking clearly, give them a burning desire for what you have ahead. This overwhelming passion to grab it, to go forward, to renew their minds. Lord, even now, I rebuke any spirit of laziness. I rebuke any spirit of slumber. I break its power. And Lord, I say, pour it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, give God praise.